You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Everyone these days could use a little support, and your friends at the ESO Network are no different. With the ESO Network Patreon, the cool thing is when you help support us, it's you who will benefit. With four tiers starting for as little as 25 cents a week, you can listen to some of your favorite network podcasts early, hear exclusive content, maybe get some ESO swag, or even possibly take a shot at the geek seat. All you need to do is sign up at patreon.com/ESO Network.
I'm Drew Leiter.
And I'm Cletus Jacobs.
And welcome to episode 187 of the Earth Station DCU. Tonight we're going to talk Batman The Adventures Continues number 3, Green Lantern season 2 number 3, Batwoman season 1 episode 18, If You Believe in Me, I'll Believe in You, Supergirl season 5 episode 17, Deus Lex Machina, Flash season 6 episode 17, Liberation, and Legends Tomorrow season 5 episode 10, The Great British Bake Off. But before we get into that, let's talk some DC news. All right, Cletus, first up for DC news. DC and the Hershey Company are partnering for a new candy. The superhero Hershey's Milk Chocolate Bar is set to debut this July, but they're sending out an early batch to those on the front lines of the COVID-19 pandemic. The superhero Hershey's Milk Chocolate Bar will feature the emblems of the DC characters, Batman, Wonder Woman, and Superman, along with the sound effect, BAM. I'm excited about getting these Hershey bars.
Yeah, it's kind of cool. Why not, right?
Yeah, exactly. All right, up next for DC news. DC is eliminating the six-day exclusivity window direct market comic book shops had on original graphic novels and collections over the stores in the book trade market. The publisher explained in an email to the direct market retailers that the policy had changed to eliminate customer confusion about when titles are on sale and to sync up with their marketing efforts across all channels. Makes sense to me.
Yeah, I mean, logically it makes sense. I can certainly understand, you know, comic book stores being upset about it, but because I get the idea is that in theory people will go to the, but I feel like people that are going to go buy it from a comic book store are going to do that anyway.
I agree with you.
I get on paper why comic book stores would want, like, if you're inclined to buy, if you're going to go to a comic book store to buy the graphic novel, you're going to do that anyway. You're not going to go to Barnes and Noble or whatever, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean.
So I don't know. I mean, obviously I don't work in the industry, so I can't obviously speak as an expert, but it doesn't seem like it would be that big of an issue to me.
I don't think it is either. And that'll probably make it easier for DC with everything coming out, because they don't have to have separate marketing material and stuff like that. So it'll probably save them money in the long run. And It does alleviate confusion, but I think most of your hardcore comic people are going to know the difference. It's your common people that would get confused.
But even on that, like, how many people of the casual audience are even like waiting for a release date of a graphic novel?
That's true. They'll just, you know what I mean? They'll just see it and pick it up is what
right. Happened. Not to say that nobody would do that, but you know what I mean? Like, I can't imagine it's a significant number that it even made a difference or will make a difference.
Yeah. For our next bit of DC news, Dark Knight's Death Metal is set to debut June 16th. Scott Snyder says that Death Metal is our Wonder Woman story. It was built around this idea that Wonder Woman has been a voice on multiple fronts for the truth about the DCU. And about the true nature of the quest that the Justice League is on. all of it. Now, the Generation 1 shots were supposed to release along with Death Metal, but apparently all that's changed, and the project is currently in limbo. And I was reading that Newsarama had tried contacting DC on multiple occasions about the project. They're not getting any response from them. So I'm kind of curious if the 5G plan has been scrapped or not.
If it's not been scrapped, I have a strong suspicion that it's either scrapped or we're going to get a very different version than what was originally planned.
Yeah, I got that feeling too.
Because the thing is, they probably would have put it out had they not had all these delays, right? Because they would need books to come out. But in a sense, they have a backlog of stuff to get out. So they don't need – this was something clearly not everybody at DC was on board with. And now they don't need to put those books out because they've got other stuff that wouldn't normally have been coming out at that point. And so I can see them kind of looking at that going like, well, this is kind of our opportunity to not do it. It kind of presented itself. So I don't know. Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if they're kind of – I believe they planned on releasing it, even though there was clearly some hesitation. But I think the delay caused by COVID, I think, kind of gave them a window of opportunity to maybe do something different.
Yeah.
But that's all speculation. Obviously, you and I don't know for sure. But
yeah, we don't know for sure. And only time's going to tell, because I don't even think we get back to a full release on stuff until June. So. And it still may be scattered then. Who knows?
Yeah, I mean, and then the other thing is they are planning on doing it exactly like they planned. It's not done. People haven't been able to work on it. That's also possible. So I don't know.
I find that hard to believe in the comic industry, because they're not all sitting in the studio doing stuff anymore.
I would agree. I could see it being a possibility, but yeah, I'm with you. If anything, artists and writers should have had ample time to work.
All right. And for our last bit of DC news, DC Universe has debuted a new full-length trailer for the Geoff Johns created Stargirl. Stargirl's supposed to premiere May 19th on the DC Universe, with episodes airing the next day on the CW, which is not that far away. A couple weeks.
Yeah, it's coming up sooner than I realized. In my head, it was like Stargirl was far off. You know, it was supposed to, I think at one point, wasn't it supposed to air after the show stopped? Or am I misremembering?
You're not misremembering. It is starting when the shows go off. We've got one more week of shows. So now we have 2 weeks to review of shows, but there's only... the shows, we got this week of shows and next week of shows, so.
And that's it, right?
Yeah, we're running about a week behind. And the other thing I was surprised at, we're going to have Supergirl and Batwoman along with Flash and Legends. So all of a sudden, all these shows started showing up. I'm like, whoa, where'd these come from? So, because I thought some of them were ending before the others, but they're all going to the same week. So they all end the week. I think Flash ends the week before, but by the time we're going to be reviewing them all together. So
this is something we were talking about last podcast. So they did end up getting truncated, right?
Yeah, that's what it looks like to me. I haven't heard anything else that says otherwise, and it looks like they're wrapping them up with these episodes. So
that's fascinating, man. We'll get into it when we talk about these specific episodes for this week, but. I'm so curious how the story's changed, because there's been at least a couple episodes that we're going to talk about this week that I don't think we watched what the original version of the episode was.
And I have to agree with you. When I watched them, I'm like, I don't know if this was originally how it was supposed to go, because it feels like maybe that's why they went on the hiatus, is because they were redoing some stuff on them.
I think, well, yeah, I mean, because obviously they shut down production, and I think at a certain point they realized, like, we're not going to be able to finish these shows. And so I part of me wonders if they ended up taking bits and pieces out of different episodes and pasting them together into one.
Yeah, I was wondering that too, so. All right, well, that wraps up DC News for this week. Let's take a short break, and when we come back, we'll do our comics talk.
Fans of podcast, I am Rusted Robot. Rusted Robot is 7 feet tall. Yes, I've heard. Episodes in the hundreds, with pop culture reviews and geek style news. I am Rusted Robot Podcast. You have come here for geek.
Will you listen?
Listen?
For free?
No, we will run and we will live. Aye, run and you'll live, and dying in your beds many years from now. Would you be willing to trade all those days and come back here for just one more listen? They may take our lives, but they'll never take our Rusted Robot Podcast.
And we're back. But before we get into this week's comic books talk, we gotta let you know, there's gonna be spoilers.
We got spoilers.
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 We've got spoilers.
Spoilers.
For you. We got spoilers.
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 We've got spoilers.
Spoilers.
For you.
For you.
Alright, let's talk Batman, The Adventure Continues, number 3. And I gotta tell you, Cletus, this snuck up on me. I didn't see where it was coming out, and then all of a sudden I saw a review for it, and I'm like, oh shoot, it's out, so I got it on our schedule quick.
I mean, it was a quick read, so.
Yes, it was. Anyway, it was funny because we just talked about issues 1 and 2 last episode, so. The issue opens up with Batman, Batgirl, and Tim Drake Robin battling Clayface. Now, Clayface splits into two. We see Batman fights one, while Batgirl and Robin fight the other. And then Deathstroke shows up and helps Robin defeat his half of Clayface. We found out in this universe that this is Batman's first meeting of Deathstroke. And Batman starts to learn all he can about him. And we see that Tim is kind of fascinated by him. A little later on in the issue, we see that Deathstroke catches up with Batgirl, and when she's out on her own, Deathstroke unmasks and tries to earn her trust. He offers to train her under his supervision, but we see Batgirl turns him down. Now, over dinner, Bruce, Tim, and Barbara discuss Deathstroke, and Batman warns them that men of Wilson's profession are only visible when they need to be and only ask for help when they want something. Next, they bring up that somebody was spying on Batgirl and Deathstroke, but Barbara said she didn't get a good look at him. But I'm pretty sure that was Jason Todd. I was more convinced that was Jason Todd this issue, even though they still haven't specifically said it.
I can't imagine who else it would be.
No, it had to be him.
Yeah.
All right. We get to the end of the issue, and we find out but the issue does not confirm it. And it's made clear
I think he used a different name, though. I think he called her something else. It wasn't Rose.
Did he? Because I don't remember. And maybe I missed it, too.
I'll look it up.
Okay.
I'm thinking he referred to her by a name.
But it was definitely made clear that Batman is the target and most likely all of the Batman family.
It seemed unclear whether it was the whole Bat family. It seemed like it was Bat because it seemed like he was potentially willing to use the two Bat kids.
To get to Batman?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I wasn't sure if they were going to be a target as well. And it was pretty clear that Slade doesn't know Batman's secret identity.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, did you find anything on that yet?
He says very much like you, Sonny.
Sonny?
But I don't know. Maybe that's not a name. Maybe he's describing her as, like, I don't know. It could be an adjective, but it's a little, because it is with a U, it's not with an O. It's possible it's Rose.
Now, I was going to ask you, what did you think of this issue compared to the first two?
I still feel like it's the same. I think it's a very, obviously it's a quick read and it's a very easy read in terms of like, I don't know. It's a very enjoyable story. It's not really going to be challenging you as a reader. So it was, I don't know. It's a fun, light comic. And in that regard, I think it's great. I still think it's just, there's just not enough there to justify a full issue. I very much liked the whole setup in this comic. But when we talk about, we look at, for example, the last page, right? It's three panels with one and then a fourth final panel kind of horizontal below them. And those are, there's no reason that should be that, like, you know what I mean? Like that's taking up so much space on the page for no reason other than clearly that's how they're using it to fill the page length. I don't know if that makes sense. I know it's not even really meant to be a criticism. It's just all of the artwork, I don't know how to better describe it, but it's larger than it needs to be because it feels like they're trying to fill space.
That could be. I think may also be doing it because this is definitely more geared for kids.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Is this a digital only comic?
I believe so.
Yeah. So it also definitely reads as digital because of the page layouts. You don't have those half page breaks, but everything. I can see what you're saying with the kids, but with that, I don't know. I've read plenty of young adult comics that have smaller paneling than this that are still very readable, like are very like written well for their target age audience that I see. I don't know. I'm conflicted with what the target audience for this is because I do think it's probably to a certain extent young adult, but then I don't know. It's not that childish, if that makes sense.
No, it's not. It's like they're trying to gear it for both.
Yeah.
So, but I see what you mean. Now that you mentioned that it looks like it's made for just digital, the way they have the panels laid out, that makes sense.
I can't see. I actually would think this comic would have a hard time. They would have to format it differently, and completely honest, for it to be a physical copy. Just because of the layouts, like these pages are huge. Digitally, they're huge. And maybe you shrink them down. And so what we're reading, what looks like a page would ultimately be, you know, add a couple of these pages added onto one. And I don't really, I know this sounds like I'm criticizing it. It's fine. The artwork is good. It's very much in line with, you know, with the style of the animated series. It's just, I feel like they could fit more into one package and they're choosing not to, which is fine. Again, that's fine. It's a light read. It's very enjoyable. I do think we could get twice the story if they were so inclined to do that, but clearly they're not.
I know they could. I'm flipping through it right now. Normally, I read panel to panel. You don't have to read this panel to panel. I mean, you can read the bubbles and everything fine. Normally, when I read through a comic, I have to go through it panel by panel just so I can read what they're saying because it's smaller. So
it's very readable. So in that sense, yeah. it deserves to be called digitally for if it was, we're assuming it is a digital only comic. It is formatted incredibly well for digital. It reads very well. I just, again, and I don't even think you need to necessarily make the, I'm not saying you need to make the art smaller, but I do feel like it felt like we got half a story. You know what I mean? This feels like it would be half an episode.
Yeah. Yeah. We're probably just used to having much more. So.
Well, and I don't know. See, because a lot of the comics that we read are frequently 1/6 of a story. So I won't want to pretend like, I'm not trying to criticize it because it's not giving us the full story. It just feels like the half that we're, like it's a smaller half than what it should be. I don't know if that makes any sense. Like the normal comics that we read are certainly parts of a full story, but that part feels more filling. Like we're getting more plot, you know what I mean? More going on. Whereas this is clearly one half of a story. I'm assuming if it's like the other one, it's one half of a story, but it didn't feel like we got that much. It feels like if this is half, then the full thing would feel like what a full issue should feel like. I don't know. It's a weird ramble. And it makes it sound like I haven't enjoyed the comic. I do. It is an enjoyable comic. I just, my only complaint is that I wish there was more for each issue.
And you wouldn't be Cletus if you didn't rant about it. So, but I'm enjoying the story too. It's a light, fun read. And we don't always get that, but
that's the thing. If anybody who enjoys the animated series style of Batman stories, I definitely recommend checking it out. Worst case, it's an enjoyable read that you forget about later. Like, there's nothing that I find off-putting about the comic. The art is perfect for what it's trying to do. The writing is very much in line with the writing of the series. It's like I said, I just, in that sense, really the reason I want more is because I'm enjoying it. Like, I finish an issue, I'm like, that doesn't feel like enough. Give me more.
Yeah. You do seem to get through it awful quick. So I have to say that.
On the other hand, like, if we were getting some of our other series that we haven't enjoyed so much, there have been some where I've been very happy if we had only gotten half of it.
All right, well, let's move on to our next title for this week, Green Lantern Season 2, Number 3. So, Hal Jordan returns to test piloting, and we find out his old crew is missing, except for Rocket Man, who's injured. We see Hal still has his entourage of little bird people, who seem sad when he goes up in his plane. And, of course, Hal leaves his ring behind. I thought that was a great homage to Geoff Johns' run where he did that.
Yeah. There was, early in the comic, I don't know if you noticed, there was like one or two panels. There was weird replacement art or fill-in art or something. It was so bizarre.
Okay.
It stuck out. What was that about?
All right. Let me go finish my review here. Then let's come back and talk about that, because I noticed that too. All right, so Hal takes his X-300 and flies to another dimension where he finds Cowgirl and a very angry Cloud who destroys his plane. But no worries. Cowgirl's plane is still intact. So she chastises Hal for his macho rule about not wearing his Green Lantern ring while test piloting. And they fly back together. Hal discovers that the angry Cloud lost its Cloud pet. And transforming into his Green Lantern outfit, Hal stops the military from destroying the Cloud pet and returns it to its owner. We see Hal and Cowgirl have beers, and we basically find out that the Flash is coming next issue. Now, one thing I wanted to say was I loved Liam Sharp's digital paintings in this issue. It looked really great, but like you said, there was a few panels that looked off because there was some standard artwork in there, and it looked like it was done on purpose. And so you had this mixture of painting style and a few panels that had regular style, and I think it was mixed in on purpose. I was going to ask you about that, but you asked me about it first.
Okay, see, I wondered if it was on purpose too, but I couldn't find any rhyme or reason to it.
And that's what I was hoping you would see the rhyme or reason to it, because I didn't see it either.
I think it was, for whatever reason, hold on, I'm going to look at the credits for this. My guess, my guess was that Sharp, for whatever reason, couldn't finish the comic. And so they just got somebody else to fill it in who was obviously not working in even remotely the same style that he was.
It says Liam Sharp art and colors on here. And he did the cover. I don't see anybody else credited. Now, one of the panels that's normal looking is the panel where Hal goes sees Rocket Man. Or there's the top panel of that page. And then the rest of the panels are painted in that.
Yeah, see,
page.
But that makes no, like, there's no, I see, I don't see any reason why that would be drawn differently.
Right. Then if you go to the very next page, Hal's getting going to his plane, and you see him hold up the Green Lantern ring, but it looks like it's drawn in and not painted. So there's a weird mixture of it throughout the comic.
The credits at the end of this?
It was at the beginning. It's basically on the first page at the bottom. In a Green Lantern shaped battery kind of thing.
Oh, okay. Well, see, well, you know what's weird here? So on the cover, there's an Olaf is credited. I don't see him. I think there's a fill-in artist. Yeah, I'm almost positive it's a fill-in artist. I find that very odd. So you're right. So in the comic, the full credit thing, it only lists Liam Sharp as the artist. But if you go to the cover, there's a third person credited, and it's not the letterer, it's not the anchor. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I see that. Huh, that is weird.
So I think it is a fill-in artist. That's so bizarre. That's so weird.
Yeah, but if you look at some of the panels, it looks like he filled in with some of the paintings too.
I'm telling you, man. I think Sharp couldn't finish the comic. And I'm assuming both of them were working digitally. Most comic artists do. I mean, maybe Sharp doesn't. And I'm assuming he probably just sent them whatever he had digitally, and the other guy just filled in the rest. And it just sticks out. The one that was the worst was the one that you're talking about, where he's holding out the ring, and it is clearly a different art style.
Yeah.
You see the guy in the background is drawn in, is Liam Sharp drew, and the hand holding it does not look like Sharp drew it.
Nope. And then he had that weird panel that was all drawn. And then, you know, there's a mixture throughout. I think that was the only panel that was all drawn, too. The rest of it's a mixture.
I certainly could be wrong. And maybe it was, basically, I can't see any reason why it would be an art decision. It all looks like it was fill-in stuff. Like, they decided maybe something else needed to be in there.
I don't know. It was still a good story, though. I really enjoyed this one. And it was easy to understand, too.
Yes, I would agree with that. I thought this was one of the more straightforward ones that Grant's done so far.
Now, the cloud thing itself was weird, but it was still easy to understand.
I mean, there was no way Morrison was just going to not do something weird.
But I did find it quite enjoyable. And I really liked the painting style that was in it, even though the mix of it was a little goofy.
I will say the one thing I wish, because I know he can do it, and he's clearly choosing not to, and it's fine. He clearly knows better than I do. He's a very successful writer. But it's almost a shame that he's writing it so obscure, all these stories so obscurely, because I think most of them are actually pretty good Green Lantern stories. They're just hard to figure out, and I think it makes it potentially less enjoyable for people. I wonder, like, you know what I mean? I wonder if he wrote them in a more straightforward style, if this wouldn't be a more celebrated series. I don't know. Because I feel like what he's doing is pretty standard, like, stuff I would want to read a Green Lantern, like Green Lantern stopping a alien cloud. Like, that sounds like Green Lantern to me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's certainly weird, but it fits. It's not like, I don't know, it's not like Batman stopping an alien coming from a wormhole. Like, it makes sense that Green Lantern is doing these sorts of adventures. I don't know. I am very aware from many other stories I've read by him that he can do it, and he's just choosing not to. It's interesting.
Yeah. One thing I wasn't sure about was what was going on in the epilogue. It sounded like when I was reading it, I was like, is this have to do with the Legion of Superheroes? I don't know. I was a little confused by the epilogue.
I don't know. If that's a reference to something, I don't know what it is.
I didn't know either. But I enjoyed it, so that's what counts.
Yep.
All right. Well, that wraps up our comic books talk for this week. Let's take a short break, and when we come back, we'll talk our CW shows.
It was Sean and the podcast about mankind. The Soulforge podcast was a dream given form. Its goal? To prevent fear by creating a place where humans and aliens could work out their differences peacefully. It's a pod for all, with topics including love, loss, sex, dating, and so much more. Humans and aliens wrapped in the ESO network, all alone in the night. It can be a dangerous place, but it's our last best hope for peace. The year is 2020. The name of the place, Soulforge Podcast.
And we're back. Let's talk Batwoman, Season 1, Episode 18. If you believe in me, I'll believe in you. This episode opens up with Batwoman taking down some human traffickers who are interested in harvesting human organs to sell. We get an awesome fight scene between Batwoman and the baddies, and it's something I think the show's been lacking a little bit. So I was glad to see that in the beginning here. Lucius Fox's journal is causing a gold rush in Gotham. Everyone's after that journal, and only Tommy Elliot knows where it is. We know that the journal contains a failsafe to take down Batman in case the Batsuit ever fell into the wrong hands. We see Alice and Mouse make a deal with Tommy Elliot. They will help him escape Arkham with a new face in exchange for Lucius's journal. And with his face removed, Tommy gets his iconic bandage on the face that we're familiar with in the comics.
It also very much, as we discussed, opens the door for recasting for that role.
Yes, it does, doesn't it?
I enjoyed this episode, but one thing I was talking to my girlfriend about as we watched the episode was continuing what we discussed last week with this, which is they look like they're trying to reinvent the Tommy Elliot character to be more similar to what he was in the comic, which is great, but why didn't they just do that in the first place?
I'm guessing they tried to do something different and it failed. Well, we know it failed.
Well, but you could argue, I don't know that it necessarily failed, because the way that they used him was to use him as a one-off villain. And in that sense, it's fine. I mean, it's a waste of, in my opinion, it's a waste of a resource, because that's a villain you don't use again. You know what I mean? But
yeah.
In terms of, like, villain of the week, he was fine. I didn't particularly care for him, but it's nobody remembers the villain of the week within 3 weeks anyway.
Right.
So, yeah, I don't. It's so odd. It's so odd, because the only thing I can imagine is that they thought that they couldn't. They were clearly allowed to use the character. So I can't see what DC would have prevented them from doing. So in that case, it was just like they decided to make him a villain of the week and then decided later, oh, wait, we actually want Hush. It's like, what? What are you doing?
Maybe they're trying to retrofit him, because they're going to have him as a villain next season. I don't know.
Which would be fine. I think he'd be a really good villain. That's what we talked about the first time he popped up. It was like, what a waste of a character. I am glad that it looks like they are retooling the villain, but it just baffles me. Nobody made them do that in the first place. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you shot yourself in the foot there. That was such an unforced error.
Well, looks like they're trying to fix it now.
I know, which is great. Again, I am glad it looks like they're trying to fix it and make him a more interesting villain, which is great. It's hilarious and a little bit frustrating to me that they have to do that in the first place. It was just this season. It wasn't like, you know what I mean? I don't think I would feel confused and frustrated about it if it was next season, because maybe it's like, maybe a different, you know, a couple different writers got in on the show and were like, hey, we'd rather use this character more than what you guys did last year. But it's the same season. It's the same people. Whatever. Anyway,
yeah.
I was pretty glad when I saw his face get wrapped up. I was like, oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
I also do think they need to recast it, because I don't think the guy that plays him can do what I would expect from a good Hush story.
And I'm not going to disagree with you on that. We find out that Tommy gave Lucius' journal to a mobster for safekeeping. And so we have Kate and Julia go undercover clubbing to go get the journal. And we see Kate runs into that bartender Regan that we saw earlier in the season. And they start flirting with each other. We see Luke kind of reminds Kate, hey, you need to focus on the mission. And Julia kills the light, and Kate turns into Batwoman, and they go out to find the journal, and of course, both of them get captured. Now, Mary, who this whole episode has been begging to become part of the Bat Team, actually, we've seen it for the last several episodes, but it was really apparent at the beginning of this one, and kind of sad that they all went into the Bat Cave and she had to stay behind. I felt bad for her. But we see Mary talks Luke into letting her go, and she uses her connections to make a deal and tries to, kind of buy Batwoman back. Now, Alice, who's running the asylum from the inside, releases one of Batwoman's villains, Magpie, and tasks her with retrieving the journal. We see her kind of tangle with Batwoman, and Magpie throws that book off the roof, and we see Batwoman die for it and gets hold of it.
Where did the grappling hook go in that scene? I had to interject.
I don't know.
I just want to say it wasn't even me that pointed it out as I was watching. I mean, I was thinking it. My girlfriend was like, where did that go? What did that attach to? You just don't, they just could. Honestly, I didn't need to see Batwoman come back up, to be totally honest with you.
No, I didn't either.
Just seeing her dive off the ledge, I'm like, yeah, she grabbed the book. She probably grapple hooked, and it's fine. They frankly made it worse, showing it just shoot off into the night and connecting to the moon, I guess.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting her to come back up, too. I was actually surprised by that.
That was, yeah. Those shots clearly work better when they're standing on the ground and we see them just shoot it up. You know what I mean?
Right.
Being at the top end of that shot does not work, CW, just for future reference.
And what I thought was funny, instead of Kate swinging away, she becomes Kate again and runs into Regan down at the entrance of the building. And of course, they both go back to Kate's place and things happen. And then when Kate wakes up the next morning, Regan is gone and so's the journal. And that kind of took me by surprise. I was like, whoa. And of course, we find out at the end of the episode that Regan's sister is Magpie. How they knew Kate, this Magpie, I don't remember this from the beginning. Did Magpie know Kate was Batwoman?
No.
So how would they know she had the journal? See, that didn't make any sense to me.
I think the girlfriend had maybe surmised that she was Batwoman. Let's be real. It would not be that hard to figure out.
No, it would not. You're right.
I have to say, I almost, because I think they had already revealed the identity of Magpie. I thought the show was trying to maybe go towards her being Kate's Catwoman. That would be kind of interesting to me.
Yeah. That would be interesting.
I mean, because the show is clearly not shying away from just, making her Batman, which is fine. I have no problem with that. So if we're going to do that, then why not give me her version of Catwoman?
Yeah, that's basically what Magpie is anyway, so.
Well, yeah, but doesn't, you know what I mean? Having maybe if Magpie gets caught and the sister takes over, Magpie 2, I don't know.
Oh, I see what you're saying, yeah.
That's what I'm more getting at. The one that's it's a criminal, but there's also, the romantic interest between the two of them.
Yeah.
That's what I'm getting at. I don't, a thief you can replicate with any villain, but I don't know. I think the Batman-Catwoman relationship is clearly very interesting to many people. It's the reason why it stuck around for so long. So why not piggyback off of the success of that archetype?
Yeah, I mean, it could work very well here, too, so.
Yeah.
All right, when Alice and Mouse finally get the journal in their hands, they find out it's written in code. I had to laugh at that. That just makes me think how brilliant Lucius Fox is. And then the other thing that really surprised me is we see Julia and Sophia together, and she gets that phone call, and we hear her talking on the phone. She's after the journal too, and I'm very curious who she's working for. I think next episode's going to be very interesting with everybody trying to get that journal.
Do you feel like we would have figured out that who Lucius's killers was already at this point, had the episodes aired the way they had originally been intended?
No.
Yeah, see, I don't think so either. I still can't get over last week. Was last week, right?
Yes, it was last week.
Yeah. It didn't feel right, if no, that it makes sense. It's just, not even just, obviously, I mean, last week we talked a lot about what to me felt like a huge letdown that Tommy Elliott was behind it. Just did not make sense. And honestly, the identity of the guy didn't totally, because they didn't build up on it. You know what I mean? Like, we needed, it felt like it needed a couple more episodes where maybe we, the audience, figure out that he's the killer. Because yeah, it was such a big storyline. And I wonder, and going off of that, going on your point, I wonder if that was intended to tie to whoever Pennyworth is supposed to be working for, too.
It does seem like they changed things. It didn't feel right last week, and honestly, there's only two episodes left that they have done, so.
I assume, and this is my guess, I could be wrong, but just based on how CW stuff has typically worked, I assume that a lot of these threads were all going to tie into whoever was after Alice.
Yeah.
That a lot of them were going to end up converging into that character, and I wonder how much of that has changed.
Yeah.
I wonder if we won't see that character this season. I kind of think we won't.
That's very possible.
Or if we do, it ends up, it's like a Damian Dark teaser where we heard about him season 3 of Arrow, but then he was actually the villain season 4. That's the other thing. I feel like we were supposed to see whoever the woman was that was after Alice. I'm very sure that we were supposed to see this season, and I wonder if we will.
Yeah. Well, we'll find out shortly because we only got two episodes left. So.
That's true. Yeah, that's true. And I mean, that's the other thing. I think at this point, it would probably be in their best interest to not show that character because, frankly, it's not enough time.
Yeah, and it may be something they reveal in the finale, right? You know, as a tease for next season.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's move on to our next episode for this week. Supergirl, Season 5, Episode 17. Deus Lex Machina. Before we get into this episode, I just wanted to let you know that Melissa Benoist was the director for this episode. And it was probably a good episode for her to direct because it focused on Lex Luthor. So the episode opens up 90 days post-crisis with Margot the Leviathan lackey dead in a warehouse full of comatose obsidian platinum users. Lex Luthor literally has blood on his hands. We find out from people being interviewed that Lex is the hero as he rescued all those people from Margot's captivity. And the gun went off accidentally during the struggle, they say. Lex tells Supergirl and John that Margot was working with Amy Sapphire, the woman who tried to destroy Obsidian, to get revenge for her husband's death. Something we saw a few episodes ago. Then next, we flash back all the way to Crisis, where we see Brandon Routh's Superman, Tyler Hoechlin's Superman, and Tom Welling's Clark Kent, as we're reminded how much Lex Luthor hates Kryptonians. And it was great to see Tom Welling punch him again. So Lex is shocked to wake up in his mansion the day after the crisis to discover that not only is he alive, but he's created a whole new world, a world where he is the hero. Lex Luthor's part of this story, and we're seeing everything from his point of view. very interesting to see how he manipulated things from behind the scenes.
I really like, this felt very similar to the episode we got last year that kind of followed through his entire plot.
Yeah, it did feel like a lot like that.
I enjoyed it. In some ways, I enjoyed this one more because we had already seen bits and pieces of this. And this one, I feel like this episode to me felt the most clearly like it had been pieced together from several episodes. I don't know about you.
Yes, it felt like that to me too.
Because it used, I mean, from one perspective, it very understandably reused footage from previous episodes, which makes sense because it's a flashback episode. But also, I could be wrong. I couldn't help but feel like we were getting a lot of that because it was intended to help fill time. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I have no idea. I might be way off base with that. But as I was watching the episode, I was like, this feels like you guys remade this episode so that you had enough footage.
That could very well be. And I like seeing stuff from Lex's point of view and how he's manipulating things the whole time. Because it was an interesting. We've seen a lot of these plot points already. And this time we got to see him from Lex's view and how he was manipulating things behind the scenes, especially Eve.
Yeah, yeah. I feel like there was supposed to be some different payoff with Eve at the end there.
Yeah, actually, it also felt like Lex's story was supposed to be going a different way, and they changed it here.
There were three things that stuck out huge to me. I felt like the Leviathan plot feels like it shifted somehow.
Yes.
Miss Martian out of freaking nowhere. There's no way that was how that was supposed to play out. So the episode is obviously a play on words, Deus Ex Machina, which is, you know, referring to basically like effectively some sort of, you know, miracle out of nowhere that doesn't make sense that resolves the plot. Man, then you literally have Miss Martian just pop in, be like, "Hey, I'm here." So there had to have been more context with that character. There's just no way. There's no way that was how that was originally supposed to go. Unless they're intending to use her for the final two episodes, but I can't help feel, I could be wrong, I feel like we aren't going to see her.
Again?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like it really is just going to be the weirdest 5-minute cameo. And then the Eve Testmacher thing I thought was really good. I mean, the arc of it makes sense for the episode. I really liked the sort of framing device, so to speak, was his relationship with Eve Testmacher. But then the way it ended, I felt like we were supposed to see something else with that, and we didn't.
Yeah, I agree with you, because it didn't feel like when I was watching it, I was like, oh, he betrayed her. But that doesn't feel like how it was supposed to go originally. That felt like a change to me.
I think he was going to do that. I think it was, I don't know. It felt like Testmacher was supposed to turn on him, is what it felt like to me. I don't know. There's a scene where he very comfortably turns away from her. And I was like, oh, she should kill you there. And she just doesn't pop up again. You know what I'm saying?
Well, you do remember last week when I talked in DC News about John Cryer saying they changed something, his ending?
Yeah.
That might have been it right there.
I think it was. I could be wrong, and maybe it's something we're going to see in the final two episodes, which is certainly possible. It really felt like Testmacher was supposed to kill him there.
Because if I remember right, he said he was supposed to get defeated, and then they changed it to where the bad guy actually won. And that could be exactly what he's talking about right there.
It's also possible that they didn't change something and he's just throwing a red herring out to people.
That could be too.
I couldn't help wondering, because I remembered that. And as I was watching, I was like, oh, I wonder if he does actually win. And I was like, I wonder if he doesn't. And Cryer's just saying that to throw people off. I can't rule that out. Let's just throw that out there.
I really love John Cryer as Lex Luthor. And it was great to see him center stage in this. So, and with Melissa Benoist directing this episode, it made sense for her not to be in it as much, too. So, kind of a good episode for her to direct.
Yeah, I will say the one thing that was, I was clearly the point of the episode, but was also a little frustrating is his total inability to let go of his obsession. Like, you could see him like laying the bricks for his downfall again.
Yes.
And it was like, we just did that last year. And I know that that was the point of the episode, is that he couldn't help himself and he was doing it again. But it was also like, okay, but for storytelling purposes, can we do something different this time?
And his mother warned him at the beginning of the episode that he needed to let
go. And again, before it was too late.
Yep.
She warned him twice. So I enjoyed her character in this episode a lot, because she was like, a lot of times she feels like, I feel like Lex should be like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think Lex is obviously obsessed with Superman. I'm not going to pretend like that's an incorrect characterization of him, but I don't know. I'm with you. I do enjoy Cryer's portrayal of him, but I do, and I really like the Justice League, the anime, you know what I mean? The animated Lex Luthor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's the quintessential Lex Luthor. And I maybe not everybody agrees with that, but like that's the version of Lex that I look for. And I think I love the way Cryer plays his, you know, manipulativeness and, you know, the sort of mastermind. But I do wish some of the writing would, I don't know. It feels like Lex is five steps ahead, but he's also like two steps away from checkmating himself.
Yeah. This version of Lex defeats himself most of the time.
He's almost a little bit like the comic version of Thanos, where he like intentionally sabotages himself to make sure he can't win.
Great episode of Supergirl.
Yeah, very enjoyable.
All right, let's move on to our next episode for this week. Flash, Season 6, Episode 17, Liberation. So, Cisco, Barry, and Ralph attempt to create an artificial speed force. It fails. Ralph is concerned about building a device based off the notes of history's most villainous speedster. Yeah, he's got a point.
So that footage had to have been from a different episode, right?
Yeah, because it doesn't really... I was wondering why it was at the beginning of this episode myself.
They clearly put it in there to like... Because that footage makes sense to remind you that they're trying to build that speed force and can't.
Yeah.
But it like, because it starts in the middle of the action in a way that doesn't make sense. That had to have been, this is some of the most fascinating stuff to me with these shows for me in a while, because it's so interesting to watch them and go like, were you supposed to be part of this episode?
Yeah. Cause you could tell. You can tell with some of these episodes, stuff being pieced together.
That, like, and this scene, this was one of the big, to me, I thought this was the biggest, like, obviously did not belong in the episode scenes.
Yeah.
Of any of the shows that we watched. It just, out of, like, that and the Miss Martian scene, they're out of nowhere.
Barry finally realizes something is not right with Iris. Iris kicked him out the last episode, and Barry's become obsessed with proving that Iris is not Iris. Does this feel like it was kind of out of left field too compared to the last episode? Like they kind of put this in here. Like Barry wasn't supposed to realize it yet.
I think that this was probably the episode where Barry figured it out. I think that we missed an episode that was supposed to happen in between, where we see Barry start to maybe figure something out, if that makes sense.
Yeah, because it's like he figured it out, but they didn't tell us.
There's a time gap that we don't get. There's clearly more time than what usually passes in between Flash episodes happened here, from the breakup to, or, you know, whatever, moving out of the house to this episode, which happened at the end of last episode. There clearly was supposed to be an episode in between.
Yeah, and it was weird that Barry was at Joe's house and had the living room, how he had it, and you know, because number one, it's weird that Barry would be there without us actually seeing him move in there, and why Cecile would be surprised that he was, you know what I mean? It was just weird.
Yeah, I really think there was an episode of context that we missed, and they basically just filled it with just assume things have happened in the last.
Yeah.
Which honestly, I respect. I like, if you're going to cut something out, that does seem like the thing that you could cut out. It does make it very abrupt, but it can't be helped from a certain stance. Like, they weren't able to film the entire season. So if you're going to cut something, I assume it was probably mostly a filler episode that was supposed to go in between, and they effectively kept only the important bits.
Yeah. That might be a blessing in disguise, huh?
Yeah. Well, I mean, and it might have been and obviously we're wildly guessing on all of this, but you know, if that was the case, if there was supposed to be an episode in between, it probably was mainly a filler episode, which it might have been very enjoyable, but ultimately wouldn't have moved the plot forward that much. So, you know, extra flavor for the season, but not necessary, as clearly this episode was.
Yeah. So we see Barry and Cecile sneak into Iris's office and find that photo of Camellia. And of course they figure out that Iris may not be who she seems. So he's got a little more proof of that. But when they actually get her back into the lab and Barry uses that device, we see that she seems to be the real Iris, and she takes it and turns it on Barry. I think that was kind of smart on their part. And when it backfires, I notice Cecile immediately puts metahuman handcuffs on him. And I just wanted to say, see that, Barry? See how quickly you could have taken care of Cicada last season? Right there. Cecile, no powers. Well, she does have the mind powers, but, you know, there you go. She stopped you right away.
Oh, true.
We see Eva command the mirror trio to help Ramsey escape in exchange for his blood. I was very surprised to see blood work back in this. I was like, really?
Oh, man. I was so worried. I was like, oh, no. Please, no. You know, I was so relieved when he locked himself back up. Although, I can't help but feel like there was something, we read something that there was supposed to be some twist at the end of Flash that they're not doing now. And I wonder if it was blood work related.
Could be. Not even COVID-19 can kill his storyline.
He's just, yeah. I was very relieved when he locked himself back up. I was like, oh, thank you.
Iris finally learns that Eva's been lying to her. And we see Iris discovers a secret room behind the giant mirror. And it contains recordings of everything that's happened since Iris has got trapped. So she got caught up in what was going on. We see Cecile freeze Barry from the pipeline because she senses something isn't right with Iris. And Barry races home to find his mirror Iris putting Bloodwork's blood on the mirror. Once things are revealed, we see Iris, the mirror Iris, turns her arms into mirror swords. That was a freaking cool scene, I thought. That battle scene, loved it.
Yeah, I agree.
So it was interesting how they did it, and it's a little different from things we've seen before. I just thought it was cool. And I also love how Mirror Iris told Barry to mind his surroundings. Kind of a lesson that Oliver Queen tried to teach him way back in season one. So I thought that was a cool callback. We also found out that Cisco and Ralph visit Caitlin, who is recovering from her battle with Sunlight. And they discover that Caitlin is in an ice coma and have to wake her up from it. Caitlin tells them that they need to ask her mother for help. Which, Caitlin was kind of conveniently had a blanket hiding her stomach. So I'm sure this was before Danielle Panabaker gave birth. So it was kind of.
I feel like there was also context missing there too.
Yeah, because it seemed like we missed something.
Like they knew that, yeah, there was context there. Like they knew that she was sick or something had happened, and there was that felt like something got cut there for sure.
Yeah, sure did.
These are going to be so fascinating to go back and watch later on. Like if you're ever sitting and watching The Flash and you get to this point, because it'll be, I think it's going to be similar to shows when the writer's strike happened. There are some shows that just abruptly end for the season.
Yep.
And it doesn't look like we're going to quite have that bad with these shows, but I do think you're going to end up with these really quirky narratives at the end of all of these shows.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see how they finish out too.
Yeah. And then I wonder if some of the stuff that gets cut ends up popping up next season. Like things that they meant to be late season reveals, they end up being like, oh, so that's kind of interesting. Why don't we just save it and do it next year instead?
Yeah.
That's what part of me wonders. I wonder how soon we'll find out about what was cut, you know, because they generally, all these showrunners are very open. Like they constantly are doing interviews and stuff and talking about things in the show.
Yeah. We won't find out until this summer, I'm sure.
But part of me wonders how much that they will talk about, though, because I wonder if there's going to be stuff that normally they would be very willing to talk about, but they won't because they actually are going to end up using it.
That's very possible.
Be interesting. It'll be very interesting to see.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's move on to our last episode for this week. Legends Tomorrow, Season 5, Episode 10, The Great British Bake Off. So this episode opens up with Charlie telling the story of how she got rid of the last piece of the loom in ancient Egypt and how she gave it to Enchantress to hide for her. Now we see John gets
everything. That was a big surprise. I just want to get... I couldn't believe Enchantress was in the show.
I know. I wonder if she was supposed to have a bigger role and it got cut.
Had to. I can't imagine that was... That's too... In my opinion, that's too much of a DC character to be like that we're going to do a 5-minute cameo for her. I wonder if maybe there was some stuff that's cut, but that she might come back.
That could be.
I wouldn't be surprised. As we know, Legends has clearly turned into a magic show, which is great. I think that's fine.
Yeah.
That would be a great character to add into the show, I think.
Oh, yes, it would. And maybe that's what they're planning on doing, too. We'll see.
We've talked about, we think that they're probably going to end up shaking the roster up. And I don't know. They introduced a character that, like, just saying.
Yep. So John gets everyone in a circle to help him track down the loom piece. We see Sarah collapse and breaks the circle. And John and Zari fall into a hole and get taken to John's house, but a point in time before 1950. We see Ava, Gary, and Mick go to hell to force Astra to call off the encores. Zara and John pretend to be engaged as they are looking for the piece of the loom that they must deal with, a house full of some of the greatest murderers in history. Black Caesar?
Yep.
Okay.
That was the pirate.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Black Caesar.
Who I had not heard of. I have to admit, I did not know that person.
Brutus, Bonnie and Clyde, Jack the Ripper, Henry VIII. So that was all interesting.
I was a little bummed that Henry VIII was such a small cameo in that. I don't know. I felt like there was some more potential comedic material there, but this was pretty cool. This one... I can't imagine this was anything that changed plot-wise, but I think it's interesting because there were multiple characters, encores, that they used in here that I think would have been good full episode encores.
Yeah. I don't disagree with you.
For whatever reason, chose not to do. Some of them make sense. Like, I think Brutus being part of the group makes sense because I have zero interest in a Brutus-focused episode.
Bonnie and Clyde, I think, make sense in an episode like this. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Where Encores are turning on each other. I don't know. It just that seemed to work for me. But once like Jack the Ripper, I felt like could have been a full season, or sorry, a full episode one. Henry VIII, I think you could have done something interesting with him, but maybe not. I don't know.
Yeah, I have to agree with you. Some, especially Jack the Ripper, I think that could have been a good episode.
Do you think, now that I'm thinking about it, I wonder if there was an Egypt episode that was supposed to happen. Because we get the flashback.
Yeah. With Enchantress.
Charlie
Enchantress. Mm-hmm.
And then we have Zari turn into Cleopatra. And maybe I was just wildly off base. I wonder if there was an Egypt episode and they cut it. And there was something like maybe that's where Zari got the idea to do Cleopatra.
That's very possible.
Zari's idea makes sense one way or the other. It's not like that felt without context. That totally made sense. But it, part of me, there were multiple Egypt things, and it kind of made me wonder if there was supposed to have been an Egyptian episode that didn't happen.
All right. Another thing, weird thing we had in this episode, we had Zari and Constantine almost kissed. And now we kind of got this love triangle between them and Nate.
Poor Nate.
No kidding.
I did very much enjoy that self deprecating joke he made about he's only interested in women that it will end up terribly. they were very clearly strong hinting at a Zari Constantine relationship, which yep. is fine. Honestly, I'm fine with it. Poor Nate.
I know. We also see Ava rescues Astra from hell and brings her back to the Rave Rider. And gotta say, that's gonna be interesting.
We didn't get any real follow-up with Mick. And part of me wonders if we did miss something there.
Yeah. That was the last thing I was gonna bring up. We find out that Mick did not make up with his daughter, and I thought for sure we were talking about this last episode. I thought for sure they did it off screen, but apparently she tells him to go to hell, which literally he did.
Well, I think what they meant to, well, yeah. I think they meant to imply that he did go back to the house. That just didn't go well.
Yeah.
I can believe that.
I can believe it too, but it seems like they're stringing out the story a little longer than it needs to.
Well, I think there was supposed to be a scene at least that we were supposed to have seen. I'm okay with her not just magically forgiving him quickly. Like that, I'm fine with it. I just feel like one of the things that must have got, I assume has gotten cut, was some of the Rory stuff.
Right. Or they could have pushed it to another episode too. Maybe they decided.
Just feels underwritten.
Yeah. It does, doesn't it? But, you know, overall, another great episode of Legends.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, this show feels like the one that's changing the least. I don't know if you would agree with that. It feels like it. There's less obvious cuts.
Yeah, and now, granted, Legends usually has a shorter season. We only got a couple episodes left, so I don't know how they're going to wrap it up or if they're just going to – this is – for this show, they may just come back and finish the season. I don't know. What do you think?
I don't know because I don't know how long the show was supposed to be originally.
I don't know either, and it doesn't – it feels like we're in the middle of the season. We're not towards the end. I don't see how they're going to wrap it up.
I can see them wrapping it up because they do have – having Astra on their side does seem like a back half of the story development. It's just going to feel rushed, I think, which is – I think unfortunately is inevitable. I don't think there's any of these shows that isn't going to feel rushed at the end of the season.
Yeah, I can't argue with you on that. All right, well, that wraps up our show for this week. Do you have a shout-out, Cletus?
Yeah, so I was trying to think of a Green Lantern story to shout out about. And it got me thinking, the
Green Lantern Earth 1 that we both really enjoyed. I did a little mini research on it. It's actually supposed to come out this year. At one point it was June. I'm looking on August, on Amazon, and it's saying August now, which I would believe. But in theory, the second volume of Green Lantern Earth 1 is coming out soon. If you haven't read the first one, it's really good. It's a more modern take on the Green Lantern origin story. It's phenomenal. I very much enjoyed it, and I'm really looking forward to getting the second one with it.
All right, and for my shout-out, I'm going to do something weird, and I'm going to shout-out about Marvel. Only because I'm watching the Marvel movies. I'm actually in the middle of Age of Ultron right now, which is not my favorite, but it's okay. But I'm having fun rewatching all those movies, so, you know, something to do when you're stuck at home. All right, well, if you'd like to comment on anything we've talked about tonight, you can reach us at our feedback line at 317-564-9133. Leave us a message. Or you can email us at earthstationdcu@gmail.com. Coming up next week, we'll be talking Justice League, Justice League Odyssey, Lois Lane, and of course, Batwoman, Supergirl, Flash, and Legends. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next time.
Time to go.
You sure this is necessary?
The Guardians of the Universe seem to think so.
How long will you be gone?
But we will be back, little brother.
I wish I could go with.
I doubt your mother would approve.
I'll miss you.
Perhaps you could water the plants in my apartment while I am gone.
Be careful, all right?
May the gods be with you all.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping through Amazon.com or the Tee Public store, which can all be found at www.esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.